Welcome to the Bold Brave Women Story Hour, where we share with you the heroic and intimate journeys of everyday women to inspire and accompany you as you boldly face your day and bravely make a difference in the world. And here's your hostess, master relationship coach, best-selling author, award-winning international speaker, and founder of the Bold Brave Women Club, Mei Vu.
Well, hello. Welcome back to Bold Brave Women Conversations. This is Mei Vu, your host. I love bringing these conversations to you because I'm a champion of the bold, brave women out there who get up in the morning, have a mission to do, and have their kids and their husband or partners or whatever relationship craziness that we have, and trying to accomplish big goals in the world, make a difference while loving everybody in our communities and staying sane at the same time. It is not an easy task. And for most of us bold, brave women, there are days where we get up and go, and there are also days where we just want to stay in bed with the blanket over our head. Wherever you're at, you earn the bold, brave woman star in my book, because I know what it takes to make our world happen, and I know what it takes to love passionately, love freely, love generously, and be there to support our world, our people, our community, our children, our husbands, our exes, our lovers, whatever. And we just, give ourselves away a lot of times. And hopefully, as you listen to my episodes, my show, you will start to reclaim those pieces. You will be inspired by fellow bold women around the world who are up to big things or small things or nothing and yet reclaiming their life. And you also will get tips and tricks and how-tos and all the good stuff to make your life work better. Today, I have with me a very dear friend of mine. She is my yoga, 6 a.m. yoga buddy, Lori Christensen. She lives in the same town with me. We have seen each other without makeup, schlepping our yoga mat to the studio, sometimes cranky, most of the time joyfully seeing each other. Lori is the owner, developer, shipper, schlepper of her own company called One Per Week. I get to be one of her clients. I get to be the receiver of her One Per Week product. It makes me so happy. I cannot tell you how much I love my One Per Week. We're going to tell you what that is in a second, but I want to tease you with this because Lori is brilliant. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's a badass. Oh, and at one time she was a what is that again, Lori? A bodybuilder.
Hey, I didn't know we were going to go there.
This is what happens when you're my friend. Things come out.
Exactly. You know all the secrets.
Yes. Okay, so I'll stop talking. I'll bring Lori in. She's here. Welcome, Lori. Yay.
Hi, Mei. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm so excited. And I appreciate that warm and fuzzy and friendly and rainbow and unicorn introduction that you gave me to all of your listeners.
Yay! Well, it's all true. I did not embellish any of it. And so tell us about One Per Week so that people, who are on the edge of their seats going, well, what is this One Per Week? I want one of those.
Okay, so One Per Week is a subscription box for the paper-loving letter writer aficionado in your world. Basically, the idea came for One Per Week that people need to write more letters. They need to get back to pen and paper. They need to put things down, the written word, especially in our world of technology and phones and emails and texting, which I subscribe to wholeheartedly. So it's not as if I'm not a proponent of that too. However, the emotional content, the words from the heart, they need to be written down. So I came up with this idea that especially right now, subscription boxes are pretty trendy. And I thought, what is it that most people slash households need all the time at their fingertips? That's what I want to provide. I want to provide a service that helps people get back to letter writing, and I want to do it efficiently and effectively. So my idea was, A, make
wait,
it beautiful.
Oh, wait, you forgot one more word.
Yes.
Yeah, efficiently, effectively, and beautifully. Oh, my God. I get this subscription once a month. I'm so excited. It comes around, what, the 22nd or 3rd or
yep.
something like that.
Yep.
I get excited about the 15th of the month. I'm like, is it here yet? Is it here yet? I would text Lori going, and when is my box coming? And she's like, on January 22nd. And I'm oh, right. But
so it's interesting because people sometimes aren't clear on what the title of the company is. I'm going to explain that. So the mission was, how can I encourage people to write more letters but not jam it down their throat? And I thought, you know what? One letter a week seems reasonable. So the idea of, can you write one letter a week? I think you can. And I think if I provide you with the tools that you need, you could do it even easier. So each box comes with 4 to 5 cards, always has a matching pen, and always provides you with the cards that you and your family members need. I'm not going to send you a baby card or a moving card or, you know, I'm not really even going to send you a Mother's Day card, because that's your job to find the right card for your mom or dad. And some of my subscribers may have parents who've deceased, so that wouldn't be effective or considerate. So every box comes with birthday, thank you, blank, humorous, and maybe a small nod at the Hallmark holiday, but not necessary. So that's kind of the mission behind the layout of the package and what's included. And I also feel like the subscriber deserves a gift. So there's always a little something extra in each box that kind of wraps the theme together and gives you a little token gift to use, enjoy, drink. Sometimes I give you a pack of tea, sometimes hot chocolate, sometimes candy, sometimes, you know, pixie sticks, whatever, something that ties into the theme or the color of that month's box. And I believe that everything in the box should be something that you use versus a whole box of shredded paper that you have to dispose of and fill our landfills and all that. So I'm trying to be really mindful of that aspect of it as well.
Well, I have to say, we have one problem.
What?
Because the cards are so beautiful and so well chosen, I end up hoarding them. I have a very hard time separating from them. I actually have now accumulated 5 or 6 months now where I feel like I finally have enough so that I could actually start to send once a week.
Well, you're not the only person who says that. Interestingly, people say, oh my God, that's my favorite card, and they love it so much, almost like they want to frame it. So they either are waiting for the perfect person to send it to, and then they end up just wanting to look at it. So I hear what you're saying, but I keep telling people, send them out.
There's
because
more coming.
The emotion and the feeling that you're getting, you will fill somebody else with feeling when they receive it. So just try to think of someone else besides yourself, May.
But the card is so pretty. I'm like,
I know.
They don't deserve that card. I deserve that card.
But I do have to say, the feedback that I get is interesting and positive and so encouraging, because people will call me or email me or text or send me a card in the mail telling me some specific card spoke to them. Oh, their mom's favorite color was lavender. Oh, their best friend drinks that kind of tea or whatever it was. And they use the cards. And the idea is to have people keep in touch in a way that's not necessarily for a gift or something tangible, but just because. So this card reminded you of someone else, so you wrote them 2 to 3 sentences. What takes you 5 minutes from tip to toe made someone else's entire day. And that's the mission. That's the thing that people need to get back to. So I can get on my phone and text somebody really easy for that immediate gratification of, hey, it was great to see you downtown today. Your hair color looks so pretty. Or I can have self-control, and I can write it in a card. Even though it will take a few days to get there, the impact of the day that she or he opens the mailbox is so much greater than me putting a text out for that same non-tangible, non-gift-related act. That's the mission. And I think it's working. I think people are doing that.
I know. It's
not like
so,
you. I know people who send them all out on the first day.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
I'm so,
yes,
I want to meet those. I think we should have a support group now. It's like,
you know what we should? We should develop like a letter writing club each month.
Yeah, or a Facebook group, you know, the one per week group, so that we can share. Because I remember when it was, I think it was May, where it was a yellow theme or something, and
yep.
You had a lemon in there.
Yep.
And I took the lemon card and I actually sent it to a dear friend of mine who ended up in jail. And I remember texting you, telling you this. I was just crying because I was like, here, this card says it all, you know, let's make some lemonade out of where you're at, you know. And it was just so touching. And so now what I learned to do is I would leave a packet in my car. So when I move to write, so I have a packet at home and a packet in my car. So if I just happen to, something happen, I can just write it in the car and I'm a lot closer to mailing it out.
That's a great idea. Anyway. And because the packets come in a folder and even the mailing package itself is a little bit durable but still thin, it's something that you can easily just put in your glove box, put in the side pocket, slide between your seat, and they'll be safe.
Exactly.
You could even grab a few stamps, put them in your wallet or put them in your car, and do it on the fly. And it is a beautiful process to hear the stories that people share about letter writing, about who they're keeping in touch with, about the fact that one per week is actually doing its job by encouraging people to write more letters and keep in touch and share sentiments that they could easily text or call, you know?
So let's talk about, I could just spend the whole time talking about one per week because I love it that much and I want everyone to have it. And what's more important behind one per week is I know that me and all the listeners out there, we always have brilliant ideas.
Right.
And we want to be free of whatever, you know, prison that we're in to do our idea and to make it grow and to make money and to turn our passion into work. And you have a lovely track record. This is, you just said you sent out your 22nd box this month.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep. Yep.
So that means that you've been in, one per week has been in existence for 22 months, almost 2 years now.
Right.
So it's now a on its way to becoming a solid company.
Right, right.
Congratulations. Woo!
You know, it doesn't come without behind the scenes and pain and heartache and growing pains, as people say, and struggles and questions and concerns. But I think if you go back to the basics, and I think if you look at your kind of your own personal notebook about what it is you wanted this to be, and I think that's something that everybody has to answer for themselves when they're starting a business. Do you want this to be something that's going to pay your mortgage? Maybe, maybe not. Do you want something that's going to make a difference? Maybe, maybe not. Do you want something that brings you joy and somebody else? Where does that fall in the pie? You have to really identify what it is that you're looking for, and that will determine, I think it determines what type of business person you're going to be.
So what did you want for one week?
A really, really, really successful, pay the mortgage businesswoman, you have to have a shrewd streak to you in order to do that. That is not necessarily my genetic makeup.
Well, I totally get it. You know, it's like I've been an entrepreneur for 23 years now. I'm the first Asian certified coach in the world, and I've been building a coaching business for the last 24 years, and I never stopped building it. And, you know, in the beginning, the first 5 years, it's just about getting one client at a time and barely making it. I had my at that time, my husband's support, and so he took care of the mortgage and I took care of the bills kind of thing. And he carried my business card and gave it out, that kind of thing. So that went for a while. And then I grew to the next, you know, after 10 years, I'm more established. But building the business is really tough. And so I love that you make that distinction between, do you need this to pay all your bills, which I have, you know, I have, because we are divorced also, you know, I have since paid for my bills and my existence and keep going and keep investing in my business. So I do have to make my business a solid business. Now, what about yours? Is it okay if we talk about that? Because I think
yeah,
it's a really
I don't mind if we talk about it because okay. I think it's true and it's real. I am grateful that my husband has a secure job that you know takes care of a majority of our bills. But I also knew that any business that I started had to be self-sustaining. In other words,
yeah,
it has to stand on its own. I wasn't going to take money out of our family money in order to grow it and push it and blast it out to the world and do all that. I'm very much a person who believes in the organic growth, which is slow growth. But that also means that at the end of the day, I have no debt. I have no, and I guess they can also say simple, but no risk, no reward. Like if you don't put yourself out there on the limb, you might not, you know, float away in the hot air balloon. On the other hand, I also know that having worked in this industry for over 10 years with my other company, I had small kids, and I needed to make sure that the company worked around my schedule, not the other way, not my kids working around my company schedule. So that was also something that if I had to take time off, if I had to push pause, I needed to be able to have that flexibility. So,
yeah, and that's what I love about what you said. Yeah, it's so beautiful because it's like not all businesses are the same, not all situations are the same. You have to see for yourself where you're at. And I love your bottom line. I was very much like you. It's like when I started my business, I was like, no, I'm not going. This business has to be self-sustaining and then make money. It cannot go in the hole. And so I built it that way. And so you're building it that way. And that the same thing, you know, we're women. We do business differently. We put our children first. We put our business. We don't just cut off everything and just do it the very masculine and harsh way where, you know, everyone has to go to therapy afterward because we
have a business. Well, also that way you're basically railroading people to the end of the day. You're just running over people to get to the bottom line. You're breaking people down for pricing. I just don't believe in that because that's their viable business. I honestly believe that you have to have respect for what people do on both sides. And if you show that respect, you'll be given that respect. And in this particular case, the service I'm providing is not a need. It's a want. So you have to remember, what message am I sending? I believe it's important for people to get back to the written word. I can see the impact that our younger generation has on not having more things written down and some of that aspect. I can also see the benefits of technology. But this is something that can enhance their life. It's not required for their life. So
I can see it. You know, like right now, the big trend for the kids are like going to Goodwill and buying, you know, used clothing and you know, going back and doing it so trendy now. Soon they'll be like, oh my gosh, did you know about one per week? You can actually write a card to somebody and mail it, and it doesn't go right away, so you have to wait.
Right.
Then,
can you imagine them waiting?
Element
that's
of surprise.
That's the funny
part. Oh my gosh. And then you read a letter in the box and say, I mean, like I could just see it becoming trendy. Maybe next year, my prediction for you, Lori, is that one per week will become trendy to the young, you know, younger generation.
I appreciate that. And I do have to say, having college-age daughters who grew up writing every thank you letter for every gift, writing, you know, cards to their grandparents, birthday cards, notes in the mail, sending them mail from college. When they went away to college and they wanted to hand pick out a stockpile of cards and envelopes and pens to take with them, I opened all doors and drawers and everything. I was like, have at it. When they got to college, the beauty was all of their roommates wanted paper too. All of them wanted cards. They wanted to participate in this activity that A, was fun and beautiful and creative, and B, they also saw my writing letters to their grandparents, writing letters to their friends, you know, and it became a little bit of a like, oh, my God, I want to do that, too. So it is sort of sharing.
You need to go and speak on campus and give everyone a card in their hands, right?
And imagine.
And just have them write a letter to their mom or their dad or whoever that they want to write there and then with you. And then,
could you imagine how great it would be?
Oh, my gosh. I bet you, you know, you will no longer be able to, you know, schlep and mail these boxes out by yourself. You're going to need to have a distribution company.
Wouldn't that be the best?
I see it. This is what I do. I help, you know, brilliant people like you get out there. And it's like, oh, Lori, that's easy. Let's try it out. It doesn't cost anything.
My God, that would be so fun.
Oh, my God. I'll go with you. I'll schlep with you.
Perfect. We'll set it up.
Yeah, that would be so much fun. But anyway, the reason for this conversation, again, as much as it's about one per week, but not really, it's the process behind it. What I'm getting is that first, you know, listen to your crazy idea. Listen to that inspiration, that hunger inside. Listen to your own wisdom of what's wanting. And what I notice about you and your product is that you listen to it exquisitely and you deliver it so beautifully. It's so elegant. So there's a level of quality and elegantness that you put into this. Was that, I'm sure it's intentional, but somehow I want you to like talk about that, to encourage people, women out there, to do it the way their heart wants rather than what their logical, practical brain would settle for.
Well, I would definitely say for me personally, I put myself always in the shoes of the consumer, always in the shoes of the person that goes to a place, a restaurant, someone's house, a coffee shop. What is it about those places, the people, the interactions, the shopping experience, what is it about any of those things, even going to a construction site, anything, what is it about those things that makes you have that actual audible letdown of comfort, security, something that makes you feel good? What is it? And it's not always very superficial, like, oh, they had really expensive, you know, lighting, or it's not always that. And most of the time, the feeling that you get is not something that you can communicate. That's what I strive for. I strive to provide, in anything I do, a feeling of comfort and relaxation and enjoyment that is not something that they can articulate. And even if that means they cannot say, wow, I like the shade of gray you used for your wall. But maybe that shade of gray is comforting. Maybe the fact that your kitchen table, for me personally, is cleaned off. But they can't articulate that. Maybe it's the fact that I have green plants, or in my packaging, things are organized in a color palette, or things are aligned in structure. Maybe they can't articulate why. But for me, to provide something that gives that feeling makes people want more of you, of what you're providing, and then they believe you. And I'm not selling anything they shouldn't believe. I'm just taking the extra step to make sure that it is done, in my opinion, well, anything you do. And it's not about spending more money. It's about spending more time.
Yeah, and it's that same old adage. It's that, you know, do unto other as you like done unto you, right? So it's like,
right. Most of the time they can't say exactly what it is. I mean, obviously people want respect and kindness and all those, obviously. But it can't be
lip service. It's like, it's like the quality has to come through, and don't go crazy on it either. But I know for myself the same thing. I have the same philosophy. Maybe that's why we get along well. It's just like, you know, when I work with clients, and I know for myself, in order to create change in my life quickly and you know, securely, like guaranteed change, it has to have a certain structure and a certain ways of delivery and certain community, all this stuff. And so I totally, you know, package my offers the same way how I want it. You know,
right.
So talking to me once in a while is not going to cut it, or blah, blah, blah. But, like, I give my clients layers and layers and layers of support that it's ridiculous when other business coaches look at my business and they're like, you do all that for your clients? And it's like, yeah, because that's how I want to do it. That's how that's what makes me proud.
It is definitely taking that into consideration. With my other company, Carte Blanche, where I do a lot of custom work and big invitation jobs, I always tell people the basic amount of time it's going to take me to do the design time and all that. But I also tell them every time, I am not going to nickel and dime you like a lawyer every time you call or email or every time we edit it's an addition. I'm not doing that because I don't believe that that's going to serve either of us well. I believe that there is a certain amount of time it should take to get this from A to B. If we go over, so be it. If we have to start all over, that's a whole other conversation. But if people feel like the product comes before the paycheck, that the product is what is the most important, then I think they also respect, and like you just said, I'm doing all this thing. I'm going the extra mile. I'm wrapping your things. I want when you open the box, I want you to be so moved like you with the cards that you don't want to even use the product because it makes you feel good. And that's what you're doing with your clients. You are going the extra mile. You are hand-holding. You are taking the time to make sure that that person feels valuable, not like they are just somebody in your credit column, you know, of your checkbook. Do you know what I mean?
Right. And totally.
And I think
now
women tend to do that innately most often.
We do, but I also want to touch on the shadow of this too, which is sometimes though the woman is so meticulous and go above and beyond their call for duty, and then they undercharge themselves. So sometimes
absolutely it happens all the time,
right? To cover
up their, it happens all the time.
Yeah,
and also that sort of takes us back to, are we doing this for the feel good, or are we doing this to pay bills with? Because I think we have to learn to be a little bit more shrewd if we're paying substantial bills with it, and that's hard to do. It's really hard to know the cutoff because I've also been told, you know, charge for your service. You are worth that. And sometimes getting ourselves, and if you want to take this back to the bold, brave woman, this is the bold, brave that sometimes we fall short on. Do we believe we're worth that? And
exactly.
You have to tap into either some experiences, the reasons why, various things that lead you to believe that in a way you're not worth it, you know, and that's definitely a whole, probably another day's conversation, but
nonetheless. It is. It's like, do not, here's a caution, do not use your desire to provide quality in the world to hide your low self-esteem, to hide the fact that you actually don't know how to stand in your own worth and charge the right money for whatever it is that you provide. Don't use this as an excuse. Oh, I'm just going to give it away and it's going to come back to me. It's like, no, that's not what we're saying. But we are saying is that stand tall, charge your right fee, and, you know, dare to even add 20% on top of that just to test yourself out. You know, that's always like a good rule of thumb. It's like whatever the number you think it is, add 20% to it and try that out. And my guess is it's going to be the right number for you if you're a woman.
Right.
If a man, that's a different conversation.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So then talk to us about, so just having a great idea and providing the quality is not enough to get out there. How do you grow organically, smartly? Because you can grow organically and it never really grow, or you can grow organically and it will take off. How do we do that? How do you do it?
Well, that's part of the okay, let me step back. Number one, patience, for sure. Because to be organic, and especially right now with social media being the primary form of marketing out there, you have to be patient because all the algorithms and all the means by which your information gets put out into the world is changing on a daily basis. And unless you're in that field, unless you're studying how the algorithms work, I don't want to learn that. I understand they're changing, but that's not my job. I'm not going to buy followers, buy this, buy that. You do have to be authentic. You do have to be a little bit patient, and you have to step outside yourself and say, if I was promoting May's business, how could I do it? And you have to pretend you're not talking about your own business, because we get caught up in, again, all the emotion, the insecurity, what we've put in it, how we feel about it, if people like it or don't like it. But if I was selling your business or jewelry or coffee, I could come up with 10 ways to Sunday how to put it out there. And sometimes we have to get out of our own way. And I'm not great at this, trust me. But I do have to remind myself, talk about your world, talk about paper, talk about letter writing as if you're not owning it, as if you're not putting money into it, as if, what would you do? What would you tell somebody else to do? And then look at those and write them down and look at those suggestions and see if they're viable. And then kind of pare those down and decide which ones, as a one-man marching band, you can do well. To try to do 10 of them partway, it's not going to serve anybody anything. Do a couple. See if it works. Change it up. See if that works. That's kind of my methodology, so to speak. And, you know, shoulder tap. If you see people doing something that seems to be working, ask the question. We're in a world of sharing information and sharing help, especially women. I go back to part of the Who We Are collection. We innately are less threatened by people asking us, hey, how did you do that? How did you do that Facebook post ad? People are wanting to help other people. And I think that's part of like what I call shoulder tapping. Hey, excuse me, I've never done that before. Could you help me? Most of the time, women are really good about helping, or they want to. You just have to be brave enough, bold, brave woman, you have to be brave enough to ask for help.
Well, and again, it taps into that shadow. A lot of time we don't think we're worth it.
Right.
And so instead, but we don't know that that's what we think. We make up stories that, oh, that person wouldn't help me. Oh, that would be too much of me to ask. How dare I ask? And that kind
right.
of stuff. And none of that is helpful. It's like the
exactly.
more you ask, the more organic support, organic magic even come to you, right? And I mean, I'm sure you and I have countless stories of magic and miracles came out of one ask. I mean, like literally today I just post on my Facebook wall a question. Hey, does anybody know anything about narcissist people? What's it like being in that kind of relationship? And blah, blah, blah. I now have enough to put together a book, literally, from a few hours
right.
of people sharing on my wall
right.
of their experience. And I learned so much. I felt like I just did a PhD in narcissism without having to even leave my bed. So
exactly.
I was like, yeah. And it's good, and new ideas going to come out, and, you know, I'm like, oh, I can now, you know, maybe this sounds like such a hot topic, we should do a Zoom call and get more, and so this is how I get organically out there to bring topics to people that I'm not selling, and yet I'm selling. So let's talk about that. How do you sell without selling? So that way, you know, we don't have the eek factor in selling.
I'll tell you something that I feel that I have done, and I kind of feel like I've backed my way into it when I look back and analyze it. And this may or may not be true. I've just recently been thinking about this. Before social media, the only way to market yourself was to do these, to pay for an ad, to do a mass mailer, to put an ad in a newspaper, to send out flyers. It was quite an investment in a single item or topic, hoping that it didn't get thrown away, hoping that someone would look at it. Not even to mention that hoping someone would tell somebody else, okay? That was how we had to, that was our hard sell. even more is to put yourself in the public forum and talk about it and get up on stage and try to engage somebody emotionally and then hit them with the punchline. You know, it's like going to a hotel where they tell you, come meet for half an hour and then you can have a free night. And they talk. They serve you wine and food and blah, blah. And at the end, they want you to, like, sign up. And it's a really hard sell. That does not make people comfortable. So cut to today's world. How do you not do that? Well, we don't have mass mailers. They don't work. That's such an old school thing to do. Now we have social media that you can do essentially for free. Okay, so how do you share your product, share your wisdom, share your non-tangible without the hard sell? Well, there's a fine line between linking everything to the actual checkout page or talking about it in a way that kind of exposes a little bit of you. So it's one thing to say, hey, look at my new cards. I just picked these up today. Aren't they beautiful? That shade of pink is lovely. Here's the link to buy it. Or you talk the way you would if you were with your girlfriends or you were with your sister or you and I in Mexico or after yoga during coffee. Oh, my God, May, you've got to see this card. It's the craziest thing ever. It made me laugh so hard I peed my pants. I swear to God, I love it. That's authentic. I didn't hard sell, and I didn't even tell them to buy it. That's what makes people, A, believe you're real, and B, then they want what you have because you're so excited about it. You know what I mean? That's the difference. Yep. It's really about talking more from the heart and kind of letting down that wall. I've always said, I write my Instagram posts the way I talk. I spell things wrong occasionally. I maybe swear once or twice, but I do write the way I talk because I think that makes me real. And I think that's what people believe. And then on top of that, providing the most impeccable customer service is what gets people to then take it to the next step and say, you have got to go sign up for one per week. That Lori, you should see how she packages her boxes. And, oh, my God, I totally messed up on my credit card and then I lost my package. She sent me another one for free. She didn't even ask me twice. That's the kind of stuff. You go the extra mile. You do things that maybe more money out of your pocket, maybe freebies, maybe giveaways, maybe send one to their aunt because she had a bad week. People are moved by that. And one day, how much money did it really cost you to do that? Nothing. Mice nuts. Nothing. In the big picture, going the extra step without being worried about the bottom line, without being worried about, oh, my God, I just sent her one for 25. I sent her aunt one for what? Without doing that, that's the difference. That, for me, that's what I do. That's how I go to sleep at night. I feel good about that. And I feel that that's what makes it come around, back around.
Yeah, and for me, what I love to do is I don't like email promotion. I don't like it when people ask me to be their affiliate and send out email to my list because I just, as a human being, I hate that shit. I hate receiving those things. And I actually feel betrayed by my friends who do that, you know. I like to just experience the product, and if I love it, everybody will know about it. And I'm super generous about it. I think it's important to be generous in our excitement of other people's product. And generous in a meaningful way. So I don't promote a lot of product, but I promote it well. I'm very generous and real and authentic, and I love it. And if I don't love it, you probably will know.
Right. And like, that's okay. It's not for everybody. Remember, everything that everybody is selling, for the most part, even life insurance, is still an option. It's not a necessity.
Yeah.
So we have to remember when we are selling something to somebody, it's not mandatory. It's an option, you know?
But I think there's something here that is not spoken enough, which is if you want your stuff to be promoted, most people, what I see are high on the eek factor is that eek, that's icky, is that they are so self-promoting. It's like, oh, my gosh, that's just awful.
Right.
No, focus on playing well with others first.
Right.
Give your, you know, I was just on a boat on Monday. I took 3 hours out of my day, when you hear this, you know, like, poor me. But actually, this woman was my new friend, Chris Holland, just started her spa on the water service.
Oh, my God, I saw that on your Facebook page. I was dying to know what that was about.
Oh, my God, it was terrible. I had to take one for the team, Lori. I mean, like, but she has this new service where you and your girlfriend, you know, or your man, go sign up there. Only 6 people can be on this boat at a time, and they would give you a facial and a massage, and the facial was exquisite. I've never had a facial more relaxing and more gorgeous, and they used the best materials and everything, and then, you know, you had champagne and a little hors d'oeuvres afterward. It was a 3-hour tour.
Oh, my God.
So cute, and so it's right up your alley, right up there. And
oh, I have to check it out.
Yeah, and they actually are having a special for Valentine's Day. If you tell them that you're my friend, you know, she'll give you 10% off. And so it's something to do, and I think she only has a couple spots left. So, you know, give yourself a big gift, or give you and your husband a big gift. It's so awesome. And there's great massages, but then there's massages on a boat that is cruising on water, so you get the healing from the water at the same time.
Yeah.
It's stunning. It was just stunning. So anyway, I love it, and I'm like super, look, I'm talking about it again, you know. So anyway, just be generous and be enthusiastic. I think a lot of time people are not very enthusiastic about what they love. They keep it down. No, be like Oprah. Give it away. Talk about it, you know.
Right.
And just be super generous about it, because it will all come back to you. Don't worry about your product. Do just love other people and make other people look good. They will think
right.
highly of you, and so on and so forth, and it will just happen. And you have to be smart with your marketing and all that stuff too, but reduce your ick factor. Anyway,
yeah.
We are almost out of time. I told you this was going to go far and fast and far, and we won't have
you
enough
did.
Time.
You were right.
And, again, no. So, but before we go, I also want you to mention about your Who We Are project, because as wonderful as One Per Week is, that's more of a solo effort, is that right? And then the Who We Are is a much more global effort, and I want people to get know a little bit about that.
Okay, so Who We Are is a collaborative design effort that yielded 5 different greeting cards that I carry and sell and market through Carte Blanche, which is my stationery company. And it is for women, by women, about women. And it has been mulling around for quite some time about how, first of all, several things. Like we spoke about earlier, women are innately able to connect with other women without an agenda, without a topic conversation. You sit down, you put 2 women together, you put a cup of coffee between them or a glass of wine or sodas or whatever, and people share. And next thing you know, they're going a little bit deep and they're exposing themselves and then they're asking for help and all these things. So I thought, women do this so well. And in conjunction with, you know, what's going on and politics, not to dabble on either side, but just women uniting to stand together, to make statements and support one another, no matter what the circumstance is, got me to thinking, you know, how can I, in my small company, from where I am, make a small difference? So I contacted a friend of mine from Instagram, who I call my friend only because we've only known each other through Instagram, and I had really admired her work. She's an artist, and asked her if she would be interested in helping me bring this collection of cards to life, which I wasn't exactly sure what I saw, but I tried to articulate that I wanted to honor women, and I wanted to communicate the beauty that is women gathering together, sharing, supporting, encouraging. So this line of cards, this 5 different cards, has women of all race and color on different cards, mostly just kind of the top portion of their body. 3 of them is just kind of the color of the shirt they would be wearing, and it's a little bit on the minimalist, cartoony side, but not. And shows women together with just simple words. We gather, we share, we laugh, we support. this is what we do. And so there's one card that has all different color lipstick shades on it. One card has five different arms holding hands in the middle, like, you know, let's put our hands together and, you know, do this together. And it shows all different skin colors. And I wanted to find a way to give back. So I contacted an editor of this stationery magazine in my industry, because they started a foundation called Rights for Women, W-R-I-T-E-S, as a play on words, that supports the MS Foundation, also to empower women and to contribute to the social and economic equality that women have and need. And so a portion of all proceeds from the sale of these cards goes directly to the MS Foundation through the Rights for Women Foundation. And I'm proud to say that I feel like I am making a difference. So now it's just about getting those cards out there, getting the publicity, getting people to share in the mission, and just kind of finding a way to, A, acknowledge that we can do this, that we exist, that we have a voice, but B, that we do well together. Women do well mm-hmm. together, and this is, quote, who we are. So that's kind of...
I love it.
Thank you.
I love it. Well, first of all, I love the cards. They're so beautiful, and I love the subtle integration of all different colors. You know, it's just like it's such a simple card with a huge statement kind of thing. And what I want the listeners to zero in is like, how do you do this? You know, it's so important to line yourself up with organization and causes that you love and believe in. That's what's going to give you more exposure and national exposure even, you know, and be part of a community, pull the women together. This is why I created Bold Brave Women, so that I can have a larger conversation than just a dating conversation, you know. And so this is part of the savviness of being a businesswoman in this day and age of social media and community and expansion and globalness. It's like, how do you create small community in a global way? It's like, wow, what? Yeah.
Right.
Anyway,
no, and it takes patience, and it takes understanding that it's not easy, and that you just have to keep putting yourself out there and reaching out to people and sharing and talking about it, and knowing that it's, you know, these kinds of things don't happen overnight. And maybe the first big hurdle was the idea. The second big hurdle was getting it done. And the third big hurdle is the production. And now it's the fourth, the biggest one, is getting it out there. And that's going to be hard for me. But, you know, one step at a time, one voice at a time, one conversation at a time, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be hard. It does. It is a journey of 1,000 steps,
right.
But it doesn't have to be hard. And you can have lots of women along the steps, you know, like this, getting you on the radio, and then creating a Zoom so that you can get out there and post it on YouTube and do all these things. And so play well with each other, get help, collaborate, have fun, be generous with your spirit, and be also focused on your bottom line and charge the right fee and all, so much more. But enough for today. We'll bring this to a close, because both Laura and I are going to go to Toastmasters now, and that's so much.
Exactly.
I look forward to bringing the next guest to you the next time. In the meantime, I wish you all a wonderful day, and that whatever it is that you do, you know that you're not alone. We're with you all the way. And reach out. Be part of my Facebook group, Bold Brave Women. It's a closed group, so ask to join, and I would be so delighted to invite you as part of the group, and then you can have me and Lori and so many other previous guests as your friends that you can, you know, call on, ask questions, and be a resource, and we play well together.
We do. Thank
Namaste.
You for having me, May. It was so much fun, so much easier than I thought.
You are so welcome. All right. Namaste, everyone. I'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you were touched, moved, and inspired by today's story. If you resonate with these stories and would love to tell yours, then join our Bold Brave Women Club on Facebook. Facebook.com/ Bold, Brave Women.